Day. As a child and a teen growing up at 202 East Johnson Street in Burnet, Texas, life was good. Life was simple, and the memories are precious. And many of those memories took place around the kitchen table. As a matter of fact, I believe that the primary piece of furniture in our home was not the dining room. We didn't have a dining room, but it was the kitchen. The primary piece of furniture was the kitchen table. It was at the kitchen table that I learned how to add, and I learned how to subtract, and I had to learn at the kitchen table the mathematic multiplication tables, which caused me great, great fits. I did all my homework at the kitchen table. I did spelling homework and pretest and prepared for all the language arts at the kitchen table. It was there that I did geography and all of those things that you did as a elementary school kid at the kitchen table. And then in junior high, we started doing those reports where you'd use, you know, lined paper, but you had to write or print every other line so the teacher might be able to read the report. And once, only once, on that report that I was doing, that I cut out of the National Geographic magazine, and you would have thought that I was the Antichrist. You didn't cut anything out of National Geographic. I mean, you had to keep, you know, 50 years. And then when my parents went to the nursing home, we threw them away. And I thought, I could have cut a lot more. I think it's those school projects that teachers just wanted to create problems family that they gave you to do, and you had construction paper and scissors and glitter. That's why I hate glitter to this day, because when I was in second grade, we had to use red glitter to make some heart, and I still, 50 years later, have glitter on my skin from that experience. But it all happened at the kitchen table. From first grade until my senior year, my desk was the kitchen table. But the desk, the kitchen table was also my mom and dad's office desk. My mom kept the books for my dad's business. And so every month and often every week, the big old adding machine would come out. It was huge. And then she got a new model calculator, which was really not much of a calculator. But, oh, it was big. And she would open that ledger, how she even carried that big black ledger with all of those pages. She would get my dad's statements, triplicate, white copy, yellow copy, card start copy. Yeah, Tino knows those exactly like Tino's shop and Charlotte's shop the same, and you pull that carbon out. My mother would sit there with the envelopes and the stamps, and the kitchen table was her office. And every Friday, she would make the deposit. Dad would bring it, and she would have it all figured out because the bank closed in the middle of the afternoon on Fridays and opened up at 3:30 on Friday afternoons to take those weekly deposits. And on Saturdays evenings at the kitchen table, which was mom and dad's desk, they would figure out what income came in. And mom would get the calculator out and tell dad this would be the tithe and the offering for this Sunday. The kitchen table, where I did homework, where mom and dad did office work, but some great games of 42 happened at that table. My uncles would come, and my dad and my mom would be there, and you know, that old plastic tablecloth, they didn't even move it. They just shook those bones right there on that tablecloth, and they would hold those hands and make those bids. And a few times, there was laughter, but a lot of times, my uncles took that game pretty seriously, and one of them might scoot the chair back and say, I've had enough, I'm going home. And the others would just love to encourage the angst and the frustration all the more. And as kids, we'd play Monopoly on the kitchen table. We'd have it all set out. About the time that I would buy all four of the railroads in Park Place, I'd have all the money. My mother would say, you kids, clear the table. It's time for lunch. And my siblings would steal all the money and change, and I never won all those years. What I most remember about the table was, of course, the conversations that happened. The days of laughter and all the stories, and sometimes some rather long silence around the table that you wished you really weren't even there. Great deliberations happened around the table, and even personal evaluations happened around the table. And the full day's activities were relived around the table. The kitchen table had many uses. My mother would cut out patterns. I never understood how you could get that tissue paper pattern and put it together and all those pins, and somehow it would make a dress. Many a morning I woke up to see my parents shelling peas at the kitchen table or snapping beans, and my father could crack pecans at that kitchen table better than ever. But I guess what it was meant for, and what we did three times a day, we ate around the table. A novel idea. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, though I never heard it called that till I went to Baylor. It was breakfast, dinner, and supper. Oh, the meals that we had around that table. How every meal we had congealed salad. What is that about? How do you even make that? What is that stuff? Lime green congealed salad and pink frothy. Every meal congealed salad and fresh vegetables, and three times a day. That just blows our mind today. Three times a day we gathered around the table, and we no more finished than Mom washed the dishes that it was time to set the table again for another meal. Now, I wish you could go with me, because it was a small kitchen, and it was a very narrow place where the table, Mom and Dad and four kids, but six of us around that table, but I never remember six because I'm the baby, remember? And so my older sister was married, and so then there were seven, and then she had children. And before Rhea and I ever had kids, there were already 17 grandkids and great-grandkids all around the table. And my mother believed that anytime we had a meal, we all should sit around the table. And so we would go to the hallway closet and grab those old oak leaves, and they smelled like mothballs, like the closet did. And we'd put them in the table and put back over that plastic cloth and stretch the table, and then we'd begin collecting the chairs. You've been there. Every chair imaginable. Someone get the piano stool. Someone get the dresser bench. Get that old brown chair. Get the blue chair with arms. Get the captain's chair. Get the high chair. Oh, no, there's still not enough. Well, we can squeeze in some more. We couldn't fit, but we had to sit around the table. And the table was a kind of a gate leg table. And every meal, someone would knock the gate leg out. Down would fall the table. My mother would say, now mind that leg. What did that even mean? Mind that leg as the table top would fall. I would give just about anything to be able to go back to that house and sit around that table again. I think my niece has that old table. And I've been thinking all week about a table. What was it? I guess it wasn't the table. It was what happened around the table. As great as the food and the conversation, it was that around that table at 202 East Johnson Burnett, Texas, was unconditional love. There was always acceptance, regardless of what you've done or where you had been or how many times you'd gotten in trouble just prior to that meal. There was still acceptance. All were welcomed around the table. Children and in-laws and grandchildren and your friends as well, all were welcomed around the table. It was a safe place. It was a safe place. Maybe the world felt safer anyway back then. But regardless of what was happening in the world or in the family or in your own life, around the table, it was safe. There was laughter, yes. But there were tears, and that was all right. And there were always spills. It did seem like we went years without any meal passing, without milk or apple juice or a lot of sweet tea. Every meal being spilled and on that plastic tablecloth, it just ran right to your lap. You couldn't do anything to stop it. And there were some elbows when our mother wasn't watching on the table. And most of all, three times a day, you could hear my father pray. Even sometimes, if we were just having Dr. Pepper and popcorn, we still had to stop and pray. My father didn't just pray, God is good, God is great. He prayed when it came time to pray around the table. And he always prayed with the most humble heart, grateful for the food, for those who had prepared the food, and for the opportunity to eat together. He always prayed for the family, for those present, and for those not there. And he prayed for the world, and he prayed for the nation, and he prayed for his church, and he prayed for his preacher. And every meal, he prayed for the confession of sin and thanked God for forgiveness. Yes, I can hear clearly, Doug, Carolyn, Steve, Becky, Mark, come to the table. Come to the table. Now, I know times have changed, and some of you who are younger than me are saying, I don't even know what he's talking about, because in many homes today, the table is a great storage room. It's a great place to store everything. You walk in, it's where your books and your hats and your coats and your shoes, it's where the last month's mail, it catches everything. That's what the table is for, whether it's the dining room table or the kitchen table. It's a great place to put stuff. Eat at the table? Well, maybe on holidays. Why would you eat at the table when you could eat in front of the television? Why would you eat at the table when you're always at the restaurant? But in a perfect world, we would all sit around the table. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus said this. He was having dinner at Levi's house around the table. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many sinners and tax collectors who followed Jesus. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisee, really holy, saw Jesus eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked Jesus' disciples, why does he eat with them? But Jesus heard them. And Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Paul wrote in Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Remember Jesus' words, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.